Good morning, friends. First, some history. Today has become known in the West as Gaudete, or Rejoice Sunday, after the first word in the Latin entrance antiphon for this day, which, of course, we do not use. We know that it has been called this since before the 15th century, but almost certainly after the 11th century. There's no Rejoice Day in any Eastern tradition. So being named this well into Christianity's second millennium makes Gaudete a rather late innovation. The wreath with today's pink candle is a custom that arose in the 20th century and possibly came into existence with the fashion of laying wreaths for other reasons, like remembering war dead. If so, it is quite fitting, since Advent is as much a season of remembrance as of his coming. In our church, we view Advent as preparation for the birth of the Christ child within a person, symbolized in Christmas. This could be viewed as a first definite step in coming under rulership of the higher self or higher soul, or in certain traditions it is thought of as the acquisition of the pearl. In bridal chamber traditions, this is a time of preparing to become the spouse, usually bride, of Christ, the bridegroom, and is therefore tied to baptism in the same way that the Lent Easter season is. The birth of the Christ child is one of the five stages of development in the inner worlds of a human being. The others are, of course, represented by baptism, transfiguration, and what I call the death, resurrection, ascension nexus. And today we are to consider love, for which the pink candle is a better fit than most of us could guess. You know, it's a funny thing. We all think we know what is meant by this word, love. And mostly, when trying to express it, we appeal to our feelings. Like the feeling of connection between a mother and child, or a father. The feelings between two people that are deciding to marry or have children. The feelings between very close friends and siblings. Occasionally, the feelings you might feel for any other human being when you've been in a particularly powerful meditative state. Almost always we describe love as a feeling. And generally we tend to agree that higher kinds of love, like agape, are higher or more refined kinds of feelings. So as usual, I'm going to challenge that idea. Not because I don't think that feelings are real or important, after all. I have them myself. I know what they are, yet I also know how unstable feelings are. By their very nature. Feelings and thoughts all come and go. Love is eternal. So love is not a feeling. So what is it? What do our readings say? First Epistle of Paul to the Corinthians chapter 12 is all about we, the members of Christ's church, being not divided against each other. Love is not specifically mentioned, and the metaphor being used is that of the body, and that puts me in mind of John Donne's famous meditation, "No man is an island, entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a cloud be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thy friends or of thine own were. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never send for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee." So, wholeness? If we go to the Gospel of John and cover pretty much all of chapter 13, love is specifically mentioned in verse 34, agapate, you should love one another, igapisa, I have loved you. And verse 35, agapin, if you have love among one another. These are all forms of the word agape. Indeed, the Greek words used in this chapter of John are exclusively forms of agape, a word coined in Koine Greek arising from a word in classical Greek which means essential in the sense of necessary. So the kind of love being spoken about by the Master is the love which is essential or necessary. And Christ washes and dries the disciples' feet as a pattern of behavior to demonstrate what agape is, which rather indicates agape is a way of being expressed in action, which action is service to others. By implication, one need not even feel any particular thing, so long as one is serving others, which is not to say that the person who is in, say, public service is expressing it, although they might be. Nor is it to say that the person who is always out there, quote unquote, serving others as part of their identity is expressing love either, although again, they might be. Rather, I am saying that this love, agape, is that which is expressed in service and sacrifice. By sacrifice, I mean making one's actions holy or sacred. And one makes them holy through sacrificial service. That means it's the kind of service which expects to receive nothing in return. Not easy, but it does, because the service is sufficient to itself. Whole. Holy. The feeling of love does tend to arise in the process, precessionally, so to speak, or as a fallout or side effect. In fact, if it doesn't, you're probably not doing it right by, say, holding some kind of expectation. Expectations will prevent the feeling of love arising and spoil the sacrifice. Expectations mean the service is not sufficient to itself. But I should be clear, the feeling is a side outcome. You don't start from that or try to make yourself feel it. That's like trying to make the cart pull the horse. Yet in order to accomplish agape, feelings do need to be addressed, and no one can set them for us. We have to do it alone. How do we set them right in order to manifest agape? Well, with two things, it occurs to me, we need done concurrently. One, making our feelings stable. No change of external circumstances should interfere with our internal states. Again, this is no easy task, but very much doable. Fasting, pranayama, vipassana meditation, really any kind of meditation, are all good first steps. And there's a whole technology around internal functioning called NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming, particularly Richard Bandler's version. His work is about using altered states to achieve full control over internal reactions. And I encourage people to really look into and try it, because it is much more spiritual than it first appears. So I said two things. One, become stable. The other is to ensure that we have the right view, that we rightly order our priorities to put service to others in its proper place. And this is done by making sure we understand why sacrificial service, agape, is so important, because it's not immediately obvious. Understanding it intimately or viscerally. And we can approach that by realizing that it is the very foundation of our existence. There is a reason the word chosen from classical Greek to coin this new kind of love was the word that meant essential. Because it is the basis of who we are, what we do, and everything we could ever have. It is the space to be and the embrace of all that is. When we say Christ is our foundation stone in the canticle, this is what we are saying. It's not just about building a temple out of astral matter. It's about acknowledging that we are made basically out of love. To that end, for achieving the correct view, I'm going to ask you to consider something a teensy, wincy bit radical, and it's dangerous. So, what if you really were the son of God or daughter, but with the same status as being the son of God? And there's a precedent for that. Of course, it says in the books that we are all children of God. Actually, it says we're all gods, somewhere in there. But in this case, I mean, what if you were the Son of God? Not just one, but the main one, the first one, the big boss's first son, firstborn, so to speak. The image of the Father. And imagine you are nevertheless here today in this church, in an ordinary body, shielded from your own power and glory. And it's a big secret. I mean, you can't really tell anyone. In fact, it's such a big secret, you probably don't even know yourself. So you can do a bit of healing or chatting with spirits and stuff, but basically your powers are severely limited, just like with Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. Nevertheless, you are still the Son of God, and you were sent here for some reason. Now then, just put your mind into that and try it on for size. I'm not saying believe it, just try it on for size. A thought experiment, if you like. So, if you are the Son of the Most High, how does that make you feel about the world and all the people around you and the animals and plants and stones in this world? And what do you feel about yourself in relation to them? And what do you want to do now?